Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us bright and early. I'm glad this is this week versus last week, though. As Shelley said, I'm going to be talking about transportation planning and health at the statewide and metropolitan or urban level. Just quickly what I plan to cover, kind of the purpose of this work. Some definitions, I promise to keep the acronyms to a minimum. I'm not entirely sure of the audience in terms of familiarity with transportation planning itself, so do want to cover that. Then talk about case studies. So our work has drawn from case studies at the state and metropolitan levels. And then you get into our kind of main findings, starting actually at the high level and then providing some specific examples from the case studies. And definitely give a shout if you can't hear me in the back. So our work is done for the Federal Highway Administration's Planning Office. And so far, it's consisted of two efforts, one that's completed. The final report is available online, as you can see there. It focused on transportation planning and health at the metropolitan level. And then our ongoing effort is looking at transportation and health at the statewide level. And we're hoping to wrap up that report this winter. The purpose of both reports is to capture kind of best practices, innovative approaches in the case studies, but also identify some challenges and opportunities for both the case study states and other states and cities and other relevant areas for the future. The audience for both of these reports is primarily the transportation planning entities themselves at the state and urban level, but also their partners. And in transportation planning, kind of usually refer to traditional partners as transportation service providers, such as transit agencies, but especially relevant for this subject are kind of the non-traditional partners, such as state and local health organizations. The reports are also intended to inform federal staff so that they're able to provide better technical assistance, facilitate sharing of best practices, and also just consider this topic in future work around policy and funding. So just getting into the definitions, starting with health and how we're considering it for our studies, really taking a holistic and comprehensive view. As you can see, this bicycle wheel, we simplified it into four different categories and then divided those into two different groups. So you have traditional topics of safety and air quality and emerging topics of access and activity. So starting with traditional topics, I call these traditional because in transportation planning, these two topics are pretty well established and have been based on requirements going back. You could kind of argue probably the history, but 1991 was a big year with the first kind of modern multimodal Surface Transportation Act, and that included requirements around both of these topics, whole set of acronyms and terms associated with both of these, informed by certainly the Clean Air Act for air quality and with safety, Strategic Safety Highway Plan, and that those requirements have been consistent since 1991. So they are well established in transportation planning entities. They're not always integrated with other activities and planning efforts. So that was something we were really looking for is better integration of those two topics. The emerging topics, access and activity. Activity is short for physical activity, also active transportation. Usually reflects non-transportation modes, bicycle and pedestrian in particular. And certainly just building upon all the research in the public health realm on the connections between physical activity and improvement in health. And then access is our last category, very broad here, capturing access to health-related destinations and activities, so healthcare facilities, nutritious food, and recreational opportunities, kind of everything that can contribute to a healthy lifestyle. Also, access for all, so access by a whole diverse range of people with different needs. And like I said, we are approaching these four kind of all together holistically with an emphasis on the emerging topics that kind of just resulted naturally, I think, in just the current context. Also looking for examples where these topics were explicitly or directly referenced in the activities, because I think you could make the argument that these are all relevant, all sorts of activities, but looking for really an intentional inclusion. And also forward-looking, so looking for examples of where people were thinking how we could improve consideration of health in the future. So transportation planning, I'm not going to go through this diagram in detail, and I know later I think some people are going to talk about the comprehensive community plans, master plans, and you'll see parallels there, I think. But the real key takeaways, I think, are that it's often a linear process, but also then circular with the feedback kind of being repeated over the years. So you start, you know, with a vision and goals, maybe look at some options and evaluate them, and then develop your long-range plan, which is usually 20 years. And then to implement that plan, you break it down usually into kind of 5-year list of projects, sort of program of projects, and then leading to implementation of those projects and then monitoring the results. And then, like I said, lots of different feedback loops based on regulation, public involvement, data. And so I said, here's the kind of the acronyms, just go over really briefly, both on the metropolitan and the statewide side. So on the for the transportation planning entity at the metropolitan level, you have these metropolitan planning organizations, MPOs, and I will be using that acronym. And then on the state side, you have the State Department of Transportation, DOT. Then that 20-year plan I mentioned goes by different names, most commonly the long-range transportation plan, LRTP. I'll try not to use that too much. And then that list of projects known as the Transportation Improvement Program, TIP, and then with the state, the STIP. Sorry, extra slide there. So the case studies that I mentioned, these are where they're located. So those colors are kind of fun on the screen. And then here they are listed out. These case studies were selected based on a literature review and scan, and also consultation with a number of federal staff, as well as representatives from nonprofit and professional groups, including APHA. And then we kind of applied some criteria, including just the extent that these places had considered health, leadership and partnerships, and then really looking for examples of institutionalization of health into the transportation planning process, as well as some consideration of geographical diversity. So back to that transportation planning process, I just pulled out 4 of the elements that we kind of really focused on for this work. And we started thinking of, okay, how does health fit in? Where does it fit in? And we came up with 3 different groups. One was motivation, so how did health even get to the table? And I'll go through each one of these in detail in a moment. And then looking at kind of those initial, usually more informal activities that showed inclusion and consideration of health. And then finally looking at structural changes. And we mean that as more formal, whether it's documented or whether it's a change, formal change in the process. Or in the product. So that was for the metropolitan examples we looked at. We did that first, like I said, we wrapped that up already. Then we moved to the state DOT context. And we started very much the same. They also use the same process, applied and implemented a little bit differently. And we started thinking, okay, motivations and early actions, do those kind of work? And they did, except we realized that they were important not just to the statewide planning process, but also to other activities that the Department of Transportation do. Because these agencies, they own assets, they manage a lot of things, they have a whole host of other activities aside from planning. And so we found that we had to expand our diagram to include other plans and policies, initiatives that DOTs were doing that don't fall within the transportation planning process. So it might not be the 20-year plan, but maybe they came up with another initiative. Massachusetts, for example, has their Green DOT initiative and plan. And then we thought, Well, DOTs also do a whole range of other activities. They provide support and technical assistance to MPOs as well as their rural equivalents and also transit agencies and even individual municipalities throughout the state. And they also have their own funding programs. Sometimes they administer federal programs, but they also have their own programs. So we found the diagram kind of expanded when we were talking about DOTs. So getting into those three groups that I mentioned, or areas, looking at similarities and differences across MPOs and DOTs. And in this case, this table goes from kind of the national high level to more internal to the agency. So we found quite a few commonalities that both states and metropolitan areas were influenced by national priorities and programs. And so that includes the Partnership for Sustainable Communities, the National Prevention Council, even things like America's Great Outdoors and Let's Move. Those were all programs that were mentioned as influencing how these transportation planning entities were thinking about health. And then the state governments often have had their own initiatives, whether focused and targeted on certain topics such as obesity or more general. There seems to be a little friendly competition out there to be the healthiest state in the U.S., and then moving down to more local government initiatives and even kind of grassroots initiatives. And then in the case of the DOT, other state agencies, whether it's health or environment, kind of having their own initiatives and involving transportation. And then internal to both of the metropolitan and state transportation planning groups, you also have leadership at the board or executive level. You have kind of peer groups, public health groups, motivating the transportation entity to consider health. You also have, several of these entities have pretty large research programs, so looking at data analysis and coming into health consideration that way. And then individual staff members. We did see examples of MPOs hiring public health professionals and even vice versa. So I think that was kind of an interesting trend. Here are some just specific examples. We have Health in All Policies. It's actually a very recent publication by a consortium of groups, but it built on a California Health in All Policies initiative. Then at the top on the right is an example from the Puget Sound area Healthy Works initiative, both at the county and metropolitan level. And then in Tennessee, this was a statewide plan that really influenced Nashville, but a statewide initiative on obesity, looking at nutrition and physical activity. And so all of these were mentioned specifically by the case studies. And then moving into those informal activities, we broke this into two areas, partnerships and programs. And there we saw, different players involved, but having relationships with your local public health partners or state public health partners. Also, many of the case studies took advantage of federal grant programs, in particular the Sustainable Communities grants, as well as the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's community transformation grants. And that was kind of a very common theme that allowed these two groups, public health and planners, transportation planners, to work together. There was also on both sides that research element that I mentioned, kind of performed at different scales. And then the program level, this was an area where we really saw more examples in the states, but MPOs as well. Just looking at coming up with health or sustainability initiatives, I mentioned Massachusetts Green DOT effort, and also looking at specific areas such as Iowa's Public Transit Division, looking at healthcare access in partnership with their public health entities. Certainly the Safe Routes to Schools and the Complete Streets effort, which I know we'll hear about more in a bit. So some specific examples from the case studies. The city of Nashville did a transportation and health study. Sacramento Council of Governments in California has done pretty extensive research and data analysis on different factors around health, access to food, access to public transit. And then this is an example from Puget Sound, the sustainability through health community design. You saw examples of guidance being issued by the public health entities in partnership with the Metropolitan Planning Organization. So moving into the structural changes, our third category, here we saw a pretty distinct difference between MPOs and state DOTs. I mentioned previously that state DOTs have a broader mission and many and more activities. So for the MPOs, the transportation planning process is really core to what they do. So we did see integration of health into vision and goals within their 20-year plan, consideration of health either currently or in the future in their screening criteria or selection criteria of projects, and also getting into performance monitoring. On the DOT side, we saw, I mentioned that there are other plans that state DOTs have adopted aside from their 20-year plan, and that's really where we saw more examples of integration rather than kind of the traditional transportation planning products. And then kind of more internal to the agencies, we saw examples of training and actual background of staff, especially in the MPOs, representing health. Also saw them develop committees, certainly still around transportation topics like bicycle and pedestrian planning, but really involving a health focus and health representation. And then also getting that membership, actually getting the health partners at the table in a very formal way, even on the boards of directors that kind of lead the MPOs. With the DOTs, it was much more focused on technical assistance, including to communities, even integration of health into their broader community comprehensive plans, not just transportation plans. And then finally, for both of them, again, that research tool and analytics side, use of health impact assessments and other modeling examples. I think here, states and metropolitan areas haven't kind of adopted these as requirements, but are promoting them as tools to be used certainly at the project level, and even in some cases, I know North Carolina has been using the health impact assessment approach for at the programmatic level, so for their bicycle and pedestrian plan, for example. So two examples from the case studies. Nashville, this is from their LRTP, that 20-year plan for 2035. And this pie chart shows the weighting that they gave to different criteria in selecting their projects. I think you can see that the lighter half, are topics that relate more to health and support health initiatives, including one explicitly about health and the environment, but also safety, multimodal, and also land use development that will support especially physical activity. And then up in the Puget Sound area of Washington, this is from their Vision 2040 plan, which complements their LRTP. And there, I don't know if you can see it, but one of their goals is to promote healthy living. So there you kind of see a explicit direct reference to health in a transportation planning product. So reflecting kind of on what we saw at a very kind of high level and quick overview. What we heard from all the case studies very clearly is that this is an evolving area, and it often involves a lot of incremental changes. And I did mention the transportation planning process is pretty linear, but we saw consideration of health kind of throughout that process and not necessarily always starting with the goals and then moving down. Sometimes we saw more emphasis on the project selection level, sometimes only in the plan, sometimes only in the goal. So it does vary quite a bit. Again, going back to our definition of health, there did seem to be a move toward comprehensive consideration of health as well as specific health topics. And then in terms of looking forward, and this is kind of reflecting the context we're in, but data performance measures and tools is really the area that case studies express the most interest in, and just seems like there seems to be a need for more work here. The most recent surface transportation bill, MAP 21, really encourages performance-based planning in transportation. And I would assume that the health field is also considering this as well. And so there's an opportunity here to explore. And then I mentioned the health impact assessments, but there's also a lot of modeling tools that I think are collaborations between health and transportation on just how to quantify the benefits of considering health and transportation. And that's not just the economic benefits, which several of these represent, but also the human benefits in terms of health and lifestyle. And that, I think, wraps it up. Again, I'm Lindsay Morse. I'm from the U.S. Department of Transportation. This is our project manager from Federal Highway Administration. It's up there. And information on my other colleagues. And again, our metropolitan area study is available online. And there's some other things available, too. Yeah, so I think we have a couple minutes for questions, if anybody has any. OK. Thank you.